Welcome to Baromag Interviews. This is your host, Leonardo Calcagno.
My name is Sean Condra, and I'm the head of operations for Multiplicity Labs. We're engaged with a number of programs. We have one program called Startup Boost, which is in four countries and seven cities around the world. It's a pre-accelerator program where we prepare early stage companies to get into the accelerator programs like the Techstars and like the DMZ, etc. But the main focus of ours is for the last 3.5 years we've been building an accelerator program for Infinity Motors, the luxury brand under Nissan, called Infinity Lab. And this year we've adjusted our methodology because we believe in talking with our corporate partners. I mean, our partners, our customers are the corporations and not the startups. Mm-hmm. One mainly because the corporations are the ones with the money.
Of course.
But the corporations, aside from the branding aspect that having a corporate accelerator gives you, there isn't much ROI that's developed out of them for a number of different reasons. Number one, you start from, is it really cool technology? Instead of, what's your problem statements? Like, where do these problem statements or these technologies rank on your priority list, which goes directly to budget? And one of the big problems that startups have is they run into corporations where, oh, it's very cool technology, but, you know, that's something we're not going to focus on for another
20 years.
Yes. That's why things take 18 months to stand up. So we used to run Infinity Lab, again, the corporate lab, innovation lab for Infinity, the premium brand under Nissan, and we've now augmented that or amended that and gotten Infinity to step away and become a corporate partner rather than a sponsor. So we're running a consortium program with Infinity Motors, a Toronto Police Service, Quadrille, which is BCIMC's real estate portfolio, $20 billion, I think, Franklin Templeton Investments, then we have two distribution partners in Cisco and IBM. Again, and we've sort of focused as the corporates, as our clients, because number one, they have the money, and if they have the money and the will, then there's budget there to actually get things done. So we start from the problem statement instead from the technology, this cool technology, because if it's not high up on the priority list, it's just not going to get done no matter how cool the technology is. So we gathered a list of 7 to 8 problem statements, I think, from our corporate partners and force ranked them. And we went out and scoured globally for scale-ups and scale-up is probably, you know, you've got $2 million in revenue, you've got 5 to 15 employees, you've got a few anchor tenants, you're enterprise tested, right? And so because our clients being the corporations and the innovation departments within the corporations, their number one goal is to get wins on the board to justify their existence.
Okay.
They need to go back every year and ask the CFO for another check. And eventually, after the CEO says, hey, we want to be an innovative company, 3 years later, the CFO's, whether that CEO is left, or there's been a reorg or restructure, the CFO is going to say, why am I giving you this $5 million again, or $10 million, or $2 million? We haven't seen anything come out of this. So we've decided to go later stage startup, focus on the corporates as our clients, source problem statements first, match the technology to the problem statements, and then do a very lean, agile scoping exercise where we sort of pave the way for the scale-ups to deploy rapidly and stand up proofs of concepts and pilots with the corporations that take, where our goal is 2 months rather than, if you're talking with some financial institution, 16 to 18 months. That's essentially what we do.
It is an amazing work. I mean, it must be very busy, keep you very busy at night, man.
It does, but it's very rewarding. I mean, we're getting great feedback from the early stage companies. We're getting some wonderful feedback from our corporate partners. Everyone's enjoying us, but this is the inaugural program. And as you know, the first time you do everything, you're not necessarily going to fail, but you're not going to do it perfectly. So far, and we're at Startup Fest this year because we're running the Corporate Innovation Zone, doing a light version of our pilot program, the one I just described to you. And we've brought Franklin Templeton and Manulife in as our corporate partners. And what we're going to do is we've sent a call out for applications with some problem statements, 6 problem statements. And then there's going to be Chris and I, my partner, the founder. We're going to do a short list on Wednesday evening, and Thursday we're going to have some speed dating. Thursday night, we're going to go back to our corporate partners and say, Franklin Templeton, Manulife, who do you like? and for what reasons. Do they fit with the problem statement best? Do you like them? Do you like the team? Whatever it is. And then on Friday, we'll do a lean agile scoping with them. So at the end of the program, everyone knows what a general 10,000 foot scope looks like. Everyone knows what's missing from the equation. And everyone knows that everyone has a better way of what it could look like moving forward. And then I believe the president of Manulife and Franklin Templeton will be up on the main stage at 3:30 giving out the prizes. And the goal is a $25,000 pilot for each startup chosen.
Yes. So tell me, what's the biggest problem for startups right now? What is it, like, the biggest problem you see? Like, I mean, you have a good idea right now. Where do you want to take them? It's a great position
I think that it still is that problem that I think this is really cool, so I'm going to build it and I'm going to show it to people, instead of talking to my customers first. That's one, and I think we're getting over that hurdle. But the biggest thing, and the reason why Chris and I do this at Multiplicity, is because I think the biggest hurdle is getting the corporates that you really want, those logos, to move at the same cadence as they do. So, I mean, you know, I went through it with a couple of large organizations when I had my own startups, and I won't name them because they're lovely, but they just move glacially. It's like everyone says, a battleship in a bathtub. Yeah. So our job, as we see it, is to go in and and basically cutting the red tape. It's such a cheesy saying, but is to facilitate rapid decision making, rapid movement, and to get basically define the decision criteria. Who's making the decision? Who needs to be in the room? And what is the information that you need? So we don't come back with all, we need more information. We need more information. I think, to be honest with you, I think that's the biggest roadblock, is getting these corporations to at least move a little bit more rationally than they do.
So why is it taking so much time for them? Is it because of the structure way, how it's built it, or people are too excited? People aren't excited enough for this?
Man, on the corporate side?
Yeah.
I think that, well, they've done the same thing for countless number of decades, and they haven't really been focused. When Uber and Airbnb showed up, before then, no one really cared about startups. Ooh, big deal. We're a big industry.
Just selling rooms.
Right, and then, GM bought Cruise Automation, and then Dollar Shave Club acquisition. So all these multi-billion dollar acquisitions, these corporations, now we understand what disruption could be. But they still think that because they're big names, and they have 80,000 employees, and they have all these dollars in the war chest, that they can just mold the startups to their will.
Okay,
and that's not how it's going to work successfully.
So pretty much like you're like kind of like a commando, like a small commando working on inside there and making sure that the structure works at the same time.
Commando is actually, that's kind of cool. I mean, yes, we like to be facilitators, but guerrilla if we have to be. It's sort of a guerrilla approach.
Guerrilla commandos.
We hack the corporate methodology.
Excellent. So tell me, besides that work, how big is the what is the next market going to be disrupted, do you think? Give me one.
Well, we're looking at working with a number of, I think, real estate.
Like in real estate, there's a lot of possibilities still?
Oh, yeah. I mean they're just digitizing. Okay, and I was in a meeting recently with a large property manager, and someone in the meeting said, "What does CRM stand for?" They shit you not. Okay, so this is the kind of and that's fine and everything, but it speaks to how they're woefully unprepared for what's coming at them. These tectonic shifts in the industry. I mean, we've worked with Infinity for over about 4 years, and we all see what's coming. Autonomous drive, ride sharing, you name it. So, GM's doing a wonderful job. I mean, people are actually moving on this kind of stuff. I think real estate, I think oil and gas. We've been talking with a number of energy firms about they've got a huge focus on innovation because, I mean, some of their biggest things are health and safety. So let's use robots to dig the ore out of the ground rather than people. Right, reduces costs. You don't have the liability, health, and safety costs. So I think energy, oil and gas, mining, fintech, whatever. Everyone's doing that and stuff. So I think that
green technology.
I think it's honestly real estate. Hassan, what's going on? Real estate and oil and gas and mining would be the biggest.
Around for the whole.
Yeah, I'll see you later. Sorry. No, it's okay. We do this podcast.
There's a lot of podcasts. I love that, getting the noise last stuff.
So I think that those are two big ones that are ripe for disruption. But we do see some large corporations. And again, because we at Multiplicity believe in buy versus build, there's a lot of opportunity if done right to have a lot of startups and a lot of very interesting ideas and technologies assimilated into these corporations a heck of a lot easier. It's kind of like, you know, how there's the African continent kind of bypassed wireline communication when right to cell phone towers.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that this could possibly be happening in the oil and gas and the real estate environment. It's not a direct one-to-one correlation, but you know what I'm saying.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.